I hope everyone doesn't mind. I think tonight I'll just skip the chanting. If we could just do the meditation, and I'll just do a Dharma talk, not a real long one, afterwards, if that works for everyone. All right. Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay. Okay. Take a comfortable position. And slowly close your eyes. Take a couple of long, deep breaths in to relax your whole body. Now scan through your body from the top of your head down to the bottom of your toes, slowly looking to see if all aspects of your body are relaxed. And if there's any particular part of your body that isn't relaxed, you could breathe into it until it slowly releases and relaxes. Okay, we're going to start the meditation with loving kindness. And we'll say to ourselves, may I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May no harm come to me. May no difficulty come to me. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. Now think of the people that are closest to you by name, or maybe you can visualize their face. And repeat to yourself, may they be well, may they be happy, may they be peaceful. Well, happy, and peaceful. May no harm come to them. May no difficulty come to them. May they be well, happy, peaceful. And we can extend this circle outwards to people that we know but aren't as quite as close as the closest group to us. Other people in the world, all creatures. May they all be well, happy, and peaceful. May no harm come to them. May no difficulty come to them. May they be well, happy, and peaceful. And now one of the most difficult of our loving kindness practices is to acknowledge the people that we don't like, or people that have been really hard family members, or people that you know that you just really have a hard time forgiving or feeling good about. Visualize those people or that person and say to yourself, may they be well, may they be happy, may they be peaceful. May no harm come to them, may no difficulty come to them. May they be well, happy, and peaceful. Take a couple of deep breaths. And we're going to focus our shift now to our breath. Wherever you find on the nostrils or tip of the nose, wherever you find that you can focus your breath on your breath when it comes in and goes out. Just a natural breath. Just slowly in and out, and just be just very aware of your breath as it comes in and goes out. Breath comes in and it goes out. Just a natural breath. thoughts and feelings will arise. And if we don't grasp onto them, they'll pass away. Just watch them, observe them, and let them go. And return to your breath. Pay attention to your breath. You can have a long breath and then a short one, or another long one. At each breath, notice the difference between the last breath and this one. Now take a deep breath. Observe your mind. And what's going on in your mind? Is your mind more relaxed? Is it calmer? Take a moment to look at your body. Is that relaxed? After observing your mind and your body, take another deep breath. Relax. Bring your hands up to your heart. May peace be with you. May we all be well, happy, and peaceful. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to just move over to the podium. I'm slightly more comfortable up there giving a talk than I am from sitting on here. Okay, I hope everyone's meditation was good. You know, mine was pretty good. But I was asked last Thursday, Rebecca, if I could just fill in for Bhante, because, you know, Bhante Rahula's been free and Bhante Sujatha's here, and it's pretty hard for him to be everywhere. And you know him, he's all over the country and over the world, really. So, you know, I'm always happy to help out. And it gave me an excuse to come on a Monday night again, which I don't come that often. I'm usually on days, Saturdays and Tuesdays. I think I'm usually more comfortable coming during the days, but I've always liked Mondays too. I thought of when the monks sometimes will throw questions back at us, and they'll ask us a few things. So instead of us asking them questions, they'll kind of throw things back at us. And I thought of three different questions here that I had heard in the last few months. And I thought I would just make a Dharma talk out of them. So the first question I heard, and this was just fairly recently, was ask yourself, are you on the right path? And the second question was, and this one I remember hearing this one a lot, over the years, and it would be Bhante saying, so why did you come here tonight? I mean, what motivated you to come here, and why do you come to your meditation practice at all? And the third question was, ask yourself, who am I? You know, and all of those together, those are pretty, a lot of, you could talk a lot about any of those, but I think, in one respect, I think all of them pretty much go together. And that is for our practice. I mean, any of these questions really talk about our practice and where we are in our practice, what we expect to get out of our practice, how we're doing. And so for the first one, I had never quite heard this one that way with before, and I was talking to Bhante Rahula, and he had asked this a couple of times, and, you know, am I on the right path? And I don't think I ever really asked myself that question, but I've used that in the past. And like, because sometimes when I think, I don't know how it is for all of you, but when things are really hard and really difficult, and maybe your life is really painful, it's hard sometimes even to feel like it's really doing anything for you. And at times you can really hit ruts in here, and I know I've been here since, you know, for like 22 years, and I'm telling you, I've had some times where I've really questioned the practice. And so for that, a lot of times what I had to do is I actually had to kind of look back at myself, like, well, think back, where was I at like 10 years ago, you know, or 2 years ago, or even like, say, 6 months ago. And, you know, it's funny because this practice seems to change things all the time. There constantly seems to be a changing. So I think sometimes it's really good, and I know we're supposed to be focusing on the present moment, but sometimes I think we have to look back at the past to really see and to affirm to ourselves that this is what we're doing is really the right thing, and not just what someone tells us is the right thing or someone says this is what we should be doing. So when I go to the second question, you know, why do you come here? And, you know, I think over the years that I've been here, I think I had so many different answers to that. And some of them were, well, you know, it's a nice social. I make nice connections with some of the people that I've known here. And I feel real comfortable. And it turns into one of my routines, like going to the gym, you know, after a while. And honestly, at times I think the reason I came was because I thought there was someone that had the answers that I didn't have either for myself. I thought there was someone who knew more than I did that could give me the answers to, you know, to help me out. And honestly, a lot of that isn't, none of that's really true. And the reason I know that I would say that I come here now, and I think I know that actually I could answer that definitely. That's not just anything, you know, like I'm here because it's a routine. And I think a lot of it is I've come to this, and I don't know if this is true, because sometimes, you know, when you come to this, some of these realizations in yourself, you're kind of like, well, I don't know. Is that really true? Is that really true that what I see in myself and I really see this and it's really true? Or am I just kind of delusional? You know. So my thought is I know exactly why I come here. And I can usually see when I come that the reason I know I come here. And that is because I know that, you know, my background and everything, and like everyone else's background, was so strongly conditioned, and we've had such, and we've lived so much through the past, and we continue to do that. And I think it's such a hard thing to try to break that patterns that we've had, that we've lived our whole life with, and that we've functioned so well with. So, and I would say, yeah, that's exactly, I know exactly why I'm here, because I know this is really hard, and I know that sometimes I have to look back and I have to see that I've made progress and I've seen things a lot more clearly. But it's definitely rewarding, and it's definitely and I can definitely see the changes in myself, and not always, but I can definitely see dramatic changes, especially since I've been here for 22 years, and I'm, you know, that's not bragging, it's not a big thing, it's just like, well, that's 22 years of your life. And 22 years of my life that I've actually tried to deconstruct, you know, all the things that have brought me to seek out something like this. And I think that ties right into who am I? I mean, you know, who am I? Why do I come here? I mean, that's the question I've had to ask. I mean, I guess not everyone in their life feels like they have to ask all these questions. But, and I think that us, anyone usually, I would think that would come to this practice would be seeking kind of answers for this. Like, wow, who am I really? You know, I mean, that's really a hard question to ask. I mean, am I, you know, today, you know, and I feel depressed. Am I depressed? Am I, you know, I'm happy today? Am I happy? Or is it that, you know, who I am is just like every single thing in my life that I've ever felt or thought about or anything? Is that all of that is who I am? And then maybe none of it is at all. You know, it's kind of that weird thing, you know, like everything is, I'm everything of that, but then again, maybe nothing. And I think that's a tough thing to see. You know, it's really kind of leaves you out in limbo. You know, like there's really, like there's not, at times there's not really a ground underneath you. You know, when you see things like this and you start to work on yourself and you start breaking things down, I think, or deconstructing, I guess if you want to call it, I think it can leave you kind of with a sense of like, wow, this is odd. You know, sometimes I have to say, you know, over the, and I've noticed it more recently, and here again, I don't know if it's me or if it's just something I'm really noticing more. And that is that I feel different a lot. A lot of times, wow, it's just, it's hard to describe. It's just different. And I think part of that might be because of, as we're working on breaking down these conditioned, our whole life of what we condition to, it's really an odd feeling, you know? And it's kind of an uncomfortable feeling at times. Even though it's like a real positive thing, it's like it's uncomfortable. And I wonder if our brain even wants us to do this. It's like at times it seems like a backlash against this, to really see and to really challenge what we think our whole concept of ourselves, of who we are. And so it's easier, I think, to just develop habitual patterns. It's really comfortable. I think it's really comfortable to hang on to what you believe and what you, you know, you go to work and you think, oh, that's it, and, you know, and everything is really good. And and I think there's a lot of control involved in there too. So I wanted to tell you something that recently, and this has something to tie in with this, I think. So my girlfriend Marilyn, who comes here too, she has a horse, and she has a rescue horse, and she's had him for a while. And so I've gone out with her maybe like 5 years, and she's always been asking me if I wanted to go ride a horse, you know, and I was like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't really know if I want to ride a horse. And the reason is because actually when I was like 9 years old, my last actual experience on a horse was an old plow horse in my uncle's farm in South Dakota. And I was up, they put me up on the horse, and it was a big wide-bodied plow horse, no saddle, and just holding onto the mane. So what happened is I fell off, and I bounced my head off the ground a few times, and basically that was the last time I was ever on a horse. So anyways, I just wanted to throw that in, and that was kind of like my resistance to doing this. But so I decided I would do it. And I took it on, and so I started out real slow, and I wasn't really comfortable doing it or anything. And I still had a little bit of a fear level, and I could still feel that at times, these twinges of fear, especially when the horse started moving a little faster and stuff. But what I really noticed about it was when I was taking lessons, and this woman was having me ride, and she would be shouting out instructions about my feet, where to put my feet, up straight, don't lean, you know, left, put your heel down, your toe up, you know, and so she's shouting all these directions out, and I realized my whole body, it seems, screwed up for riding a horse, my left leg doesn't even, like, it's like has no comprehension of what it's doing, you know. And so I'm doing all this, and I realized, but the hardest part of all that, even though that my body was like so habitual, and I had such a hard time getting there, even though I'm a little more comfortable now. And the fact is a lot of times is I was trying to control the horse too, you know, and I think that's a little bit from fear, and that's just the way, you know, you deal with your life sometimes. And the only way I really learned how to ride this horse was I had to be so aware of everything I was doing, how I held my body, where I put my feet. You know, the horse would think, I would be saying walk, and the horse, my feet would be telling the horse to canter, you know. So, but the thing about that story is it made me think at the time, like, how similar that is to my meditation practice. To do this practice, I guess if you want to say well, I mean, you have to be aware all the time of, like, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, how you're talking, you know, how your actions are. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but it's definitely not, doesn't make things easier, because I think it definitely is a hard thing to do. And so, so I think when I go back to the part when I talk about deconstructing that conditioning, all my conditioning in my life, that the only way to really approach it, and here again, this is something that I feel that I've noticed more and I've thought this, and that is the only way to really, I think, deconstruct it is, for one, be aware of all the time of what you're, how you're feeling and you're thinking, and observe yourself. And observing yourself, especially, I think the part is with the observing yourself is the part that's the most uncomfortable part of yourself to come. The part that, you know, and I think, and you know, and I thought, well, I do this pretty well. And I realize if I look at myself really, really honestly at times, I see sometimes when things come up that are very uncomfortable that I don't really like. I mean, they're so easy to just kind of shift it, you know, and just kind of, so I don't really have to think about it. And I don't really, so I'm actually doing exactly probably the wrong thing of how to approach really dealing with negative things. And I had just read something recently from one of the Tibetan monks, and he was talking about, like, how you deal with that. And that is to kind of put, like, the sharp spotlight on something in yourself that really is super uncomfortable that you don't even want to look at. And that seems to me to be really the only way to, and I think the strongest way is instead of, like, reacting and instead of trying to take control and to manipulate your feelings and your thoughts and everything as they come up, is to be able to have such a strong observance of your, of just everything that comes up and how you are all the time. And that seems to be a way to help break down all the things that you've built up in yourself and in your life. So I think that to me is obviously the most, that's what I think that I've learned about myself in the last, I don't know, and especially I noticed that I'd say in the last couple of years, that seemed so much more of like, wow, here I was kind of fooling myself. I really thought I was being really, really honest with myself, and I really wasn't looking at myself that well at all. And, you know, a lot of times if you're feeling good, maybe you don't feel like you really have to do any of this. You don't really have to go through all of this and look at yourself really strongly. So anyways, I think that's about what I wanted to cover tonight. And, you know, I hope that was decent for you. And, you know, I appreciate you listening to me. So thank you very much.